are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, June 8th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the show today, Hillary Clinton clinches the pledged delegate total, claims victory in the Democratic primary race. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders staying in the race at the very least until next week's Washington, D.C. primary. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, getting both more boring and more crazy at the same time. In California, for the first time ever, two Democrats will face off in the general election for the Senate seat being vacated by Barbara Boxer. And crazy Renee Elmers, not crazy enough. I should say crazy and Trump endorsed. Is this the first of many Trump-associated losses we will see? My guess, yes. Speaking of which, the incredibly shrinking Paul Ryan. All that and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I should also say, this horrible case of what's going on in Stanford. I mean, I tend not to do criminal cases because I just there's once a case goes to court, I think the politics become less relevant. However, in this instance, a convicted rapist, former student, a guy named Brock Turner, was convicted of raping a woman who was unconscious as a result of drinking. Best we know, it was simply a result of drinking. And the guy was sentenced to only 6 months in jail time rather than the maximum of 14 years. There's a bizarre letter that apparently his dad wrote. Like, when I read that letter, I just assumed it was a joke, that it wasn't real. And also, what strikes me about this case is that when it was first reported, the rape was first reported in the media, the press, before there was any conviction or trial. The media reported the rape. And apparently what happened is this woman attended a party with her sister. She became intoxicated at the party. She's not clear how she ended up with this guy. But two, I believe they were Danish students, visiting students, were riding their bikes on campus or somewhere around there and saw this guy raping this woman who was clearly unconscious. The bicyclists yelled at the guy. The guy ran. They apprehended him. And then he claimed that she was, of course, had consented. But it was quite clear she was unconscious. She has written a letter, or I guess it was more of a statement at the sentencing, which she has published. And it's incredibly disturbing and poignant and well-written. It's not hard to find it online. But in that news account of her rape, following the report of the rape, apparently the newspaper felt it appropriate to mention that the rapist was a good swimmer, a competitive swimmer, and not just that he was a swimmer, as in, like, he's on the swim team, which I guess I could understand to give some context of who this guy was, but then gave his times as a way to establish, like, he's not just a swimmer, he's a really good swimmer. As if somehow this is like some mitigating aspect to this whole thing. And one wonders, you know, you see a 6-month sentence and the judge says something to the effect of, like, you know, we don't want to ruin this kid's life. I don't know. I mean, I think that at the very least, what it shows is that society-wide, there's still a tremendous problem with the perspective that some people have towards women and or particularly around this issue. But I mean, this issue, you know, rape ultimately becomes a not simply an assault. It becomes one of that is, you know, intrinsically, or I guess, bound up in gender and the way that we perceive, the way our society perceives, you know, women. And, you know, it's not that long ago where it was in virtually every state in the country, not possible for a husband legally to rape his wife. Because, of course, she was a piece of property that belonged to him. Other examples of that. But just a very disturbing case. All rapes are disturbing. But the response from the judicial system makes it that much more disturbing. Let's go on to talk about the race last night. The results are in. And, you know, I said at the beginning of this race that from my perspective, you ignore the superdelegates. The superdelegates, I mean, I took issue with media accounts that would add the superdelegates at that time. And I still ignore the superdelegates. Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago, like, would you be in favor of removing the superdelegates? Yeah, I would. I do think that there should be some mechanism wherein if a nominee, a presumptive nominee, or someone at the end of the primaries, or when someone has clinched the lead in pledged delegates, that there is some mechanism where the party can deal with person has a stroke and is incapable of being the nominee but refuses to step down or something. Or someone gets indicted and the party decides we don't want that person to be our nominee because they're going to lose in the general. Or whatever it is. I think that mechanism should exist. I will say this about the pledged delegates. I mean, just the superdelegates. One, we've never had a Democratic nominee since it was instituted that has been chosen by the superdelegates. In other words, we've never had a nominee that hasn't been, that hasn't won the majority of pledged delegates since this has been instituted. Remember, in 1968, the Democratic nominee for president, he didn't win a single primary. That's not the way that the party chose its nominee. And then there was a commission. It was the Hunt Commission, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I think we've talked about this on the program. George McGovern was a part of that, where they came up with a new system for picking the nominee, and that is to actually have like primaries and caucuses. Now, the flip side of that is that it seriously undercut the power of unions, because the unions were very prominent in the those backroom deals, which would lead to a nominee. Then following Jimmy Carter and George McGovern, the Democratic Party decided, like, we need just some type of emergency break. And so 15% of the total delegates are superdelegates. And these superdelegates, there's this idea out there that they're made up of donors. To my mind, they are not made up of donors to the Democratic Party. I mean, maybe these people donate, but they are made up of people who have, who are either Democratic Party officials or who have been, or are sitting congresspeople or former congresspeople or Democratic elected officials. I mean, so there is some measure of representation there, but I mean, I don't see the value of it in this day and age. Maybe you can get a cleaner mechanism to deal with those very rare, extraordinary circumstances. With all that said, from the beginning of this election, I've said disregard the superdelegates. The pledged delegates is what, in my mind, determines the nominee, and I think would hold even with the superdelegates. They switched for Obama late in the game when it was quite clear that he was going to win the pledged delegate race. Hillary Clinton has clinched the majority of pledged delegates. Now, it is the case that the DNC says we have no nominee until the superdelegates weigh in. So, you know, I think it's appropriate to call her the presumptive nominee now. Obviously, she's not the nominee because you don't get nominated until the convention. Hillary Clinton now has 2,184 pledged delegates. Bernie Sanders has 1,804 pledged delegates. That is a difference of 380 delegates. There is one primary remaining. It is Washington, D.C. Hillary Clinton is favored there. It does not matter. It's only 46 delegates. Bernie Sanders will not get more pledged delegates than Hillary Clinton. Does that mean that Bernie Sanders should get out? Not in my mind. I say stay in, have another week, spread the message. Don't make that message about process.
And let D.C. be at least somewhat represented, for God's sake.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a secondary. So, we'll dig more into this, the results last night. But the long and short of it is, Sanders wins North Dakota. Sanders, which is a caucus, I should say. He wins Montana. Clinton wins New Mexico, New Jersey, South Dakota, and California. So this will wrap up on the 17th. With that said, Father's Day is just around the corner. And you, I believe I've already made it clear, and I feel like it's no problem for me to do this. I have placed my order. My father will be getting a Harry's razor set for Father's Day. And I have told you why I like this. Well, one, you know, I love my Harry's razor. And in fact, there's two guys right here who I'm looking at. Michael is looking a little shaggy today. I'm a little shaggy as well. But Matt, totally clean shaven.
Totally clean.
Now,
wrong,
of course,
a little stubble.
With Matt's, like, it was not clear that Matt actually needed to shave the day he showed up here, right? Like, is it a question? Do you do shave, right?
I didn't shave this morning. I shaved yesterday.
Wow.
But the bigger question is do you need to shave?
Yeah, I need to shave.
Oh, well, all right. He's getting a little testy.
All right.
He's growing up.
Harry's,
Matt's
yeah.
really growing up. But
he's eating his Wheaties.
He's eating his Wheaties. So I've got the Father's Day set for my dad. Why did I do that? Well, I'll tell you. One, what am I going to get my dad? I have no idea. Really, at the end of the day, you know, I want to get him something that he thinks I spent a lot of money on and that he can use. And that's nice. So this is it. It's a practical gift, but it's also sort of an impressive gift, right? Like, I mean, I could get him something that's just completely practical, like batteries. But that would be, like, weird. I mean, right? But I mean, everybody
even
uses...
Even for you, that would be exceptionally weird.
Everybody uses batteries. It would save him a trip to the store.
If they were rechargeable.
No, either way. I could get my dad batteries and that would be a practical gift, but it's not personal. But I can get him a personal and practical gift. The limited edition Father's Day shave set includes a matte black razor handle, a chrome razor stand. And my dad is the type of guy who would like a razor stand. Harry's moisturizing foaming shave gel, 3 of Harry's handcrafted blade cartridges, a travel cover, all for $40. Plus, it comes in a sleek, giftable box with the option to add custom engraving and a personalized card. Harry's also offers shaving sets at different price points, including $15. Get one for yourself. It's a great shave at a fair price. Very easy to order. Order online. You avoid the hassle of going to the store to pick up a gift. Go to harrys.com right now and redeem a special offer for fans of this show. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with promo code MajorityReport. Don't wait. Economy shipping for Father's Day ends Thursday, June 9th. That's tomorrow. So act now. That's Harry, HARRYS.com. Enter the code Majority Report. That's the name of the show, Majority Report. At checkout and get $5 off. Get something Dad will actually use this Father's Day and be impressed by. Thank you. Now, speaking of impressive, and you know, we're not quite there. We're going to have, and I'll tell you something, the reason why I think that not only should Bernie Sanders stay in, but that the Clinton campaign wants him to stay in is because, A, Donald Trump has been just battered around over the past week or two. And it's clear that having an ongoing Democratic primary is not hurting Hillary Clinton, who is now the presumptive nominee with Donald Trump. Two, you get another media cycle. So last night, Clinton spoke about being the first major party, but the first major party nominee for president who was a woman. And this is a very, very big deal. We'll talk more about that in a bit. But when Bernie Sanders ultimately drops out of the race, And I think he will. I think he will after Washington, D.C. I just don't know what the value it is for him to go to the convention. Even in terms of leverage. I'm just not sure about that. They'll get another media round, and then they'll get another round of media at the convention. I mean, this is the way this works, right? Is that you want these points. So from a narrative perspective, I don't think there's really anybody who wants Bernie Sanders to drop out. And why not give people a chance in Washington, D.C. to vote for Bernie Sanders? And frankly, you know, it also, I guess, I mean, I think Clinton thinks she's going to win D.C. fairly handily. You don't want one of those situations where, you know, somebody who's not even in the race anymore gets 35% of the vote. So that's the situation as it is. And today, I should tell you, we'll take your calls right now. 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. Let's listen to a couple of the speeches or clips of the speeches. This is a big deal. You know, last night we recorded, and, you know, look, I am not the biggest fan of Hillary Clinton. I was not a big fan of Bill Clinton's administration. Nevertheless, last night, watching the speech, hit the record button, so my daughter could see this. Now, if it was Bernie Sanders, I'd also record it for my daughter to see it. But maybe for a different set of reasons.
First Jew?
First Jew.
First real progressive since, I don't know, decades?
Well, first Democratic Socialist.
First Democratic Socialist ever.
Let's take a quick phone call.
First cantankerous bagel eater.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, first relative, essentially.
Calling on a 734 area code. Who's this? 734 area code. Who's this? Are you there? We got, is my phone up? 734? No? Okay. Well, try and call back. I'll try and dial back in. I don't know what that was about. It's 646-257-3920 is the number. We'll try one more time. We'll see. Keep my sound up so I can... phone is ringing. We'll get to Clinton's speech last night in Brooklyn, just around the corner.
Very close by. I got to start figuring out a Hillary impression. It's going to be tough.
Turn. What's that?
I said I got to start figuring out a Hillary clue.
I know.
Maybe Mandela will flip and endorse her.
Calling from a 951 area code.
Job. Stop.
951 area code. Who's this?
Hey. This is David Turian. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, David?
Well, you know, you would expect me to be completely devastated by last night's results, but we partied so hard last night, you would think that California was like a landslide for Bernie.
Well, it's California, man. It's the way they do.
Unfortunately, I'm looking at the preliminary results, and it looks like even our district didn't go for Bernie, but I am so proud of what we accomplished as a team. The Bernie Sanders Corona team in the Riverside, their district 41 and 42. We actually got a personal thank you from the Sanders campaign. They called us and they said we ranked third in the raw numbers that we brought in terms of canvassing and, you know, phone banking. And we were basically matching the numbers by major metropolitan cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles.
Well, that's pretty impressive. And, you know, I mean, I think.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, broadly speaking, the campaign has been really amazing. I mean, nobody anticipated Bernie Sanders doing this well.
Very few people did. I've never worked harder. I've never, ever worked harder for a campaign. And I, just for a second, I wanted to do a shout out to the team, like for Frida, Andrew, Maha, Cody. I could just go on forever.
I wanted to give a shout out
to all my buddies. Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, David, thanks. All right. Well, good. All right. So here is Hillary Clinton giving her a victory speech last night in Brooklyn, New York. It's pretty amazing. I didn't know this about her, but her mother's birthday falls on a fairly important day. I think that's an understatement. In this country, in terms of women's rights, and really in terms of just the country being significantly more democratic. We weren't fully there yet, because in many respects, this was just all about white people. But getting there. Here is clip number one.
I learned this a long time ago from the biggest influence in my life, my mother. She was my rock from the day I was born till the day she left us. She overcame a childhood marked by abandonment and mistreatment and somehow managed not to become bitter or broken. My mother believed that life is about serving others. And she taught me never to back down from a bully, which it turns out was pretty good advice. This past Saturday would have been her 97th birthday because she was born on June 4th, 1919, and some of you may know the significance of that date. On the very day my mother was born in Chicago, Congress was passing the 19th Amendment to the Constitution. That amendment finally gave women the right to vote. And I really wish my mother could be here tonight. I wish she could see what a wonderful mother Chelsea has become and could meet our beautiful granddaughter, Charlotte. And of course, I wish she could see her daughter become the Democratic Party's nominee.
I mean, it's pretty moving, regardless of what you think about Hillary Clinton as a person. I mean, there is, this is knocking down some pretty significant barriers. And I don't know. I will be more excited about it when we have the first female president. I mean, nominee is a big deal, but, you know, I go for the win. That's what I go for.
Win or go home.
Yeah, win or go home is the way I do it.
You know, another
win
birth
or go home. I'm trying to do my Hillary. That's the inflection.
Yeah. I thought last night her speech was about as relaxed as I've seen. I mean, she came out. She was pretty moved. And I, you know, which is understandable.
Yeah.
You know, she suffered a pretty serious defeat 8 years ago. And there was a lot of emotion in that room. I mean, people were going ballistic. Let's go to the phone. You're calling from a 571 area code. Who's this?
Hey, how's it going? You guys hear me? My name's Travis, by the way.
Hi, Travis. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm a big-time burn guy. I'm going to pinch my nose and vote for Hillary because I'm in Virginia, a swing state.
Yeah.
But let's get ready to say President Trump. I'm predicting it now. Trump's in the clobber Clinton. He's racist. He's disgusting, but he's going to destroy her.
Now, what makes you say that?
Sorry, guys. What makes me say that? You have a lot of angry, disappointed white guys who are unemployed, who are disillusioned, and these are the same people who threw Bush into power. And you have Clinton, who has artificial skeletons, not even real big deal for logical people like you and me and the rest of your co-hosts. They don't really care about these Clinton crap. But you have a lot of voters who do. And on top of that, you have, I think I listened to Bill Maher or some other show, that there's like 20% of the black community who consider voting for Trump. We got to get those guys and gals and say, don't even think about doing that. So, I mean,
Well, that's why I'm getting at. I mean, as far as those white guys, do you think those angry white guys who are going to vote for Trump, do you think a lot of them voted for Obama? I mean, you know that every Democrat who's run, I don't know, at least in the last 20 years, has lost the white vote. In some instances, significantly. There may be, I mean, if you have right now 20% of African Americans right now who would contemplate voting for Donald Trump, I suspect that when they get a good sense of who Donald Trump is, not just the guy who, you know, was on, The Apprentice, but and because, look, you know, there's a lot of people who have not paid attention that much to what's going on. You know, you got to remember, like, you're talking about 120 some odd people, a million people who are going to vote in the general election. And up to this point, you have probably, I don't know, less than 20 that have voted in either the Democrat, 20 million, less than 20 million in the Democratic and less than 20 million in the Republican. And so you still have like 70 million people who have not engaged in this process. And right. I just don't think there's a lot of stuff that's going to come out about Trump between now and the fall that is going to cause someone who is African-American or who is actually anything but white. And I think the white people, we already know where they're going anyways, who are going to say like, wow, I didn't know that about Donald Trump. That makes me want to vote for him more. Like, you know, there's not right. The stuff that's going to come out. Like when people know that Donald Trump had to get reprimanded and be in a consent decree by the Justice Department on multiple occasions because they wouldn't rent to black people. I think black people are going to be like, you know, like Paul Ryan may have the attitude, and we're going to talk. We'll play this. And I appreciate the call. I think, right. Look, I subscribe to the 1% doctrine in this one instance. If there is a 1% chance that Donald Trump could win, we should do everything we can to stop that from happening because he would be a disaster, as he says in his words. But I don't think you're going to find many in the African-American community who are going to take Paul Ryan's stance, which is he's a racist, but I love his policy. I just don't think that's going to happen. But yeah. I appreciate the call.
Don't you think Clinton?
Go ahead.
Don't you think the Clinton dynasty though has a little bit of that sort of bag of the African American community as well with their war on drugs in the 90s? Don't you
now,
think
they're very popular with African American?
No,
voters.
In fact, I mean, look, I mean, the bottom line is that I think within a narrow subset of the African American community, there is a sort of an understanding of that of criminal justice reform in the 90s. I think Clinton has done a decent attempt at sort of distancing herself from that. But I will say this, look, the reason why Hillary Clinton is the nominee as opposed to Bernie Sanders, if there is one predominant reason, it is because the Clinton machine, if you want to call it that, has very deep, long-standing ties with the African American community, nationally speaking. They have built that up over the course of 20, 30 years in public life. And so I don't think that's a big issue. And the bottom line is like, look, all those people who are savvy enough to know the implications of that criminal justice reform bill under Clinton, I think also are going to be savvy enough to know that Donald Trump is not going to move the ball forward when it comes to these issues. I mean, maybe they
We're
sit out.
Take care of them.
Maybe they sit out, but I don't.
Michael calls him.
Go ahead.
Michael calls him perfectly. He's a clown fascist.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Appreciate the call.
Yes, yes. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
All right, so let's hear from Bernie Sanders. He was in Santa Monica, California last night. California was pretty rough for Sanders. Clinton won with 55% of the vote, 56% of the vote. Took 257 delegates. Sanders, 188. There may be some extant from that. I don't know, about 30 that are extant. Nevertheless, Sanders had to win that, something to the effect of more or less 275 to 100 or more. So, but here is Bernie in Santa Monica talking about his immediate plans.
And that is to bring the American people together to create a government that works for us, not the 1%. Next Tuesday, we continue the fight in the last primary in Washington, D.C. We are going to fight hard to win the primary in Washington, D.C. And then we take our fight for social, economic, racial, and environmental justice to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Now, there's a couple of ways you can interpret that last line. Instead of saying our fight for the nomination of this party, we're going to fight for social, environmental, racial justice, economic justice. And, you know, very difficult to sort of parse this out. But it's clear that Sanders is in through June 14th. Is it June 14th is or June 16th? Whatever the D.C. Primary is.
14th.
And then I imagine within a couple of days, he'll make the announcement.
We go to Vermont. We take up arms. We're going to put kerosene bombs inside vehicles in Philadelphia. We are going to base ourselves in Vermont, and the struggle will continue by true revolutionary methods. We have demonstrated the utter corruption of the process, and now the violence begins. This is my favorite part. As Pol Pot once said, you can only achieve revolutionary victory through a complete upending of the bourgeoisie class, in my opinion. He didn't say in my opinion. I said that. That's my specific flavor.
That's by amazing, because I thought that's where Bernie Sanders got that tick from, that in my opinion tick, I thought came from Pol Pot.
Actually, it came, that's correct. It came from comrade number one, Pol Pot.
Has somebody made the Che Guevara with the, believe me, yeah, I got the contacts.
I would get on
I carry
those.
Them around. I'm waiting. I don't want to be walking around in the, after the Green Mountain Revolution.
It's coming.
You have so your own coffee.
I would say this: everybody who's doing Feel the Math on Twitter and all the rest, just get ready, because you're already doing work assignments, and they can only get worse from here. Tapping maple can look beautiful, according to some of the things that we have in mind for you.
We're going to take a break and head into the fun half of the program. We've got a couple more callers on the line. We have some sound. I mean, this is just incredible to me, Paul Ryan. I mean, look, we've had a lot of examples, right, of Republican primary candidates basically saying, Trump is Hitler. But then, you know, at the end of the campaign, they come out and they said, well, yeah, it's the campaign and blah, blah, blah. This sound from Paul Ryan is so stunning to me. Like, I don't feel any sympathy for him. I don't appreciate him in any way. But there is that quality of Paul Ryan now where, like, you see someone you think is just a horrible person and they're getting beat up on the street and they're just like literally, I mean, I don't know when I've seen this happen, but maybe I've seen a video of it or something. I have no idea.
World star.
They're stumbling around and they're just getting punched and pummeled from all different directions. They don't even know where it's coming from. That's the quality that Paul Ryan has right here. Like, you're just like, oof, all right, this is enough. But it's not enough. And I hope we see a lot more of this. I honestly, and I've got an op-ed from the Wall Street Journal that is just spectacular. It's just spectacular in its, I don't even know how to describe this. But let me just say, I mean, I think the writing has been on the wall in terms of Sanders' campaign for quite a while. And I think I was probably most disappointed after Ohio.
I kind of thought after Nevada, even.
Well,
if he had won Nevada.
Michigan gave me some hope.
Yeah, Ohio was devastating.
My point being that I think I would have a much tougher time with Sanders, this being out of reach for Sanders, if it wasn't for the incredible amount, and Schadenfreude really doesn't work because I think you have to be friends with the person. Just the unmitigated glee that I am experiencing in watching the Republican Party have to deal with the monster they created. And the monster, be clear, is not Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the projection of the monster. You know, it's like, you know how they, like, sometimes, like, you'll see, I don't know where there's, like, you know, the cartoon of, like, 1,000 ants sort of jumping on top of each other and then wearing clothes over their body so that it looks like a human being. Like, that's what Donald Trump is. He is just every fiber of his, like inflamed and swollen. He has like a swollen quality to him.
Or inflamed and bloated.
Imploded, bloated.
Very
swollen,
heavy on the bloated.
Bloated is made up of thousands of Republican voters. His like bloated body is really sort of just inflated by the warped aspirations of Republican voters that has been nurtured by a Republican Party. And I am enjoying so much. And it's only going to get better from here, folks.
Much better.
It's only going to get better. I mean, last night, Donald Trump gave a speech. Really, if I don't, forgive me, boring. It was really, it was bad.
It was frankly, it was a mess.
I mean, I hate to say this.
You know what? I really hate to say it was low energy.
I hate to say it. It was low energy. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say.
I heard people say that he doesn't give good speeches anymore, which is sad to hear.
It's sad to hear. And the really sad part, which I couldn't believe, is he's reading a teleprompter.
I mean,
because I thought that was the worst thing you could do ever. And I didn't say that. People said that.
I wrote this down. He's using a teleprompter. I wrote this down and I'm seeing, and it's like, it's bad.
It's bad. It's bad.
Sad.
Sad. Sad. I call him. Teleprompter Don is what I call him. I call him that. That's what we call him.
We call him that.
Teleprompter Don.
It's true. We call him Teleprompter Don.
It's true. We do. And
it's like his thoughts aren't there.
Should I call him Teleprompter Don?
Should we call him that?
Or should we just call him Racist Weaving Don?
Would you feel good about that?
I don't know. But his speech, it was boring.
You could see it. I felt bad for the people in the audience.
The people there, they were exhausted. They drive. Like, you go all the way out to a speech. You drive. You got your kids a babysitter. You want to come. You want to hear about, you know, Mexicans and rapists and winning. He didn't care.
And I'll tell you the sad part. You know what the sad part was? Here he is giving a boring speech to the people just so he can make Paul Ryan happy.
I'm so bored.
That sound from the people at the speech. It was so boring.
They were upset because. So sad. And who is Paul Ryan anyways?
Yeah, I mean, what?
I mean, he's doing the P90X and running around looking like a little rascals guy. And who cares?
It's a real shame.
Frankly, it's sad.
It's a real shame. Now, I'm not saying it's because of Donald Trump's heritage, that he comes from a people who are intrinsically boring. No, I wouldn't say that.
There's a lot of Scottish people that people say are bloated and boring. I wouldn't say something like that.
I wouldn't say that.
And he's very proud of his heritage, and that's great.
I'm glad he is. No, it's very great. He's very proud of his bloat.
He should be very proud of his bloat. Very, very proud of his bloat.
I mean,
But people say he's bloated.
In fact, it looks like he pushes his bloat up from his body, then quickly buttons his shirt collar so that he actually shows more bloat.
And people say he wants to look orange, and that's great.
That's great.
Good for him.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to play some sound in the fun half.
It's already been pretty fun.
I wonder if people
today
actually listened to that last, like 7 minutes of us doing that. I wonder if people actually sat through
it. Oh, they will.
Like people are like, it's one of those like good listening after bad. You know, like when you like I've invested, all right, sunk costs. And I just want to see how long they're going to do that.
They have loss aversion for a comedy bit.
Exactly.
I think the last segment was our capstone for the show today.
There you go.
Indeed.
All right, folks. I'm going to take a quick break, head into the fun half. Hey, folks, don't forget, you can become a member to this program, which pennies a day. I mean, I don't want to say that maybe, you know, it's you're bad if you don't do it. But you don't want me to call you cheap you, do you? There you go. Some people call you cheap you. But become a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. Pennies a day. You can sign up. Now it's fully automated through Fans FM. You remember Kyle who set up this program, made this program? Well, he's now set up a new system called fans.fm. It's great. It's fantastic. And
look, Kyle does a fantastic show. I wrote it down. I said Kyle's great. I have it right here. It's written.
And if you are a member who are having trouble signing into the app, head over. There's a link on our front page that we'll put in the post today. Fans FM. Go there. Just sign in with your credentials and everything should be reset if for some reason you got unset. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea or chocolate. People all the time tell me how much they love Just Coffee. I ran into some people over the weekend who said, who told me they drink Just Coffee. I think sometimes you get the sense that like they don't drink the Majority Report blend. They drink a different one.
It's a very good company, and they have many good blends.
Like, honestly, it was like an awkward situation where they were like, I get Just Coffee all the time. Now, of course, I'm always like it's knee-jerk. I'm not meaning to be a dick about it and put people on the spot. But I go, oh, did you get the Majority Report blend? And they go, yeah, Just Coffee's great. It's one of those things. But nevertheless, you should try the Majority Report blend. But if there's another one you like, I mean, Marin's out of the was praising some other light blend the other day. He's such a kiss ass now. It's unbelievable. I listen to him. It's all now. It's his podcast is like turning into like Deepak Chopra. And now
if we could pay Deepak to do one of those.
So gracious about everything.
No, because you're like, I remember back I'm about in San love Francisco,
and this and that. It's really disgusting.
I told you your comedy was horrible you were a sellout loser. And I would like to apologize now for that. I was in a different place in my life. And, you know, I still struggle with my cats and my girlfriends and my comedy and my resentment. But, you know what? Interviewing Obama and having monster podcasts is okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's about love and this and that, which is all great. But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into this.
Conan, I called you red hair freak sellout, and I'm sorry.
Right. And let me just say, it disgusts me. The point being, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee to your chocolate. Also, jet.com, check it out, folks. Check it out. You stopped using Amazon because you don't like the company, but you still want the convenience that an Amazon type of system provides. Check out jet.com. You can do so at majoritycickback.com. Click on the link, bookmark it, buy all your jet.com stuff through there. I think you get a 15% off your first order. Buy all your jet.com stuff through there. We get a little kickback. If you're still using Amazon, majoritycickback.com. Same deal. And today, oh my God. Two dope boys. Malik Yorba of Cool Runnings and Empire. Cool Runnings, what is that? What is that? Is that the...
That was like an iconic movie about the Jamaican bobsled team.
I know the dude who wrote that movie.
Well, one of the stars on it is going to be, was in studio yesterday and will be on Two Dope Boys on Thursday.
You should have told me that, because the guy who wrote that, the team that wrote that, wrote a play.
Oh, for real?
There was two of us in that play. I did an off-Broadway play a while back by that guy. I can't remember his name. Go give them a review, Two Dope Boys.
We're at 112. 112? So yep.
Well, if you are number 536, we'll give you a prize.
Indeed.
So
maybe make that 570.
Don't forget, Ring of Fire, you can vote for it at podcastawards.com. Ring of Fire, you can vote every day. Just check, they'll send you an email confirmation. All right, we're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half. 15 minutes after I said we were going to head into the fun half.